Hey, listener. This podcast contains some sensitive things that may or may not trigger you in a certain way. So, listener discretion is advised.
Hello. It's been a minute, Henry. It's been a long minute.
It's been a long minute. make it a 2-month minute.
Holy shit. I don't even know, like... Okay, I understand, like... I owe everyone an explanation of my absence.
Yes, yes. I think it's solely because I made it in life. That's why Haziq is now back. Haziq went to go and buy a pack of cigarettes and never came back. But then he found out that I got a college scholarship at LSU. And he decided, oh shit, this guy's going to be a future NFL star. So I'm going to come back to his life. It's like, hi, Papa's back.
Like every black kid, yeah. Every athletic black kid ever.
It's like, hello, son, I'm your father. What?
Let me manage your career.
Let me now become your manager. But you've not been here part of my life. It's okay. I am now.
I'll take a 25% commission.
That's a lot. But yes, it has been a hot minute.
Yep.
We have not been posting anything for the last 2 months. We apologize, honestly, for that.
Yeah.
But this is the Don't Know Podcast, in case you need a reminder. Or if you guys have been like constantly repeating episodes because you miss us, that's great.
Yep.
That's exactly what we want. And that's exactly why we did this.
Hit up the old episodes so we can get like a higher count.
And we have been getting consistent listener counts despite us being missing.
Mm.
Which is great. And I think this is a full algorithm reset now that we have gone. And it's great that this is happening. But it is a Saturday afternoon and we are at our usual spot. Where we watch nerds park their cars and go and buy cards and waste their life away.
It's our default spot. Even though we don't need anything or we have nothing to pick up, it's our default spot.
Like. No, not anymore. And it is nice that we are back here again to restart the episode.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of things that we want to catch up on, obviously, that we are gone. Don't worry about anything. We didn't get cancelled. We didn't have a fallout, in case you were asking. It's just that, you know, things just got in the way, you know, life just got in the way, and we're finally back. We finally have time to actually like do the shit that we love, and here we are. It's just like, you know, it's good timing that Smosh came back together.
Oh really?
And then we are now back together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So Smosh, Anthony came back into Ian's life, realized that doing it solo without a team kind of sucks. Mm. And after he gone through his full on emo phase, I mean, we thought he already had his emo hair.
Yeah.
Now he's gone full emo, his full tattoo and everything like that. Full modern hipster emo. For 6 years, and then he comes back and goes like, oh, let's go and buy, let's Ian, let's get back together and buy Smosh again.
Mm.
And that's what exactly they did, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
You know, they have been essentially part of our growth in the YouTube scene, especially because they're the pioneers, and now they're back.
Yeah, exactly.
Brings back hope in the world that at the very least, no more stupid people are coming on YouTube.
It needs a ethnic cleanse.
Yes, it does. It does. It needs more white people.
Yeah.
White people have far too long been oppressed since COVID started. until the peak or the drop of the pandemic now, or the plateau than the pandemic now. But before anything, we catch up with the world. Obviously, we have to catch up with ourselves.
Yep.
So, Haziq.
Yes.
Where the fuck have you been?
Okay. So, for not a lot of people know this. Well, no one knows this, but like this is we've been on hiatus for 2 months, right?
We have.
So we've been on hiatus on 2 months. For the past 6 months, things were a bit sketchy for me.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like life.
Mm.
Yeah. So for previously 6 months ago, like the business was struggling and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like my agency was struggling not because I didn't get jobs, but because clients weren't paying. Right.
Fuck.
Clients weren't paying. So it was financially difficult for me because I have a lot of hobbies.
Oh, mm-hmm. Addictions. Yeah.
Addictions. So here's a snapshot of my life, okay? All right. So taking care of my wife,
mm-hmm.
feeding us, clothing us and everything, mm-hmm. bills, no issue tau.
Being a madman.
Being a madman, no issue tau.
Mm-hmm.
But I was finding it very difficult to spend money on my hobbies.
Ah, okay. Yep.
So I was like, okay, you know what? Like, life is sorted, but I do need a steady stream of income
for your own stuff.
For my own stuff.
Right.
And then you know how like you're getting product fatigue from Magic and everything. Every 2 months, like there's a new set coming out.
So fucking Hasbro is fucking shit up, man.
You have chase cards and everything. So I was like, okay, I'm biting the bullet. I told Michelle, I'm biting the bullet. I'm getting a job.
So that you can appease your capitalist overlords.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So I can suck Hasbro's dick.
Yes. That's all we want to do. Yeah. Like in every ideal life, we wanna suck Hasbro's dick.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Hasbro's just out there putting his dick out there, it's like suck it.
Yeah.
Like, but we don't have money. Well, earn some.
Yeah, earn some.
Earn some, then you can suck my dick.
Short of selling my ass, which doesn't go for a lot, as I was recently told. Right, I had to get a job lah. So this is what happened when I was getting a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I applied for jobs. Mm-hmm. Apply, and then like so because it's funny the apa tu environment, the working environment for corporate environment is so damn funny because right, it doesn't matter how much experience you have in a certain industry. Mm-hmm. It matters where you stopped at your last job.
Your role.
Yeah, your role.
Right.
So, because for my agency, I specialize in copywriting, branding, strategies, and ESG.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't matter that I have all this wealth of experience or wealth of knowledge.
It matters
if when I quit my last job, what was my role?
Mm.
What was my position?
Mm.
So, when I quit my last job, my position was AM.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so then they looked okay. AM, so the natural progression will be next will be manager lah.
Of course,
but because I had a
long break
from 2019 mm-hmm. until now,
mm-hmm.
so they can't justify the leap from AM to M.
Understand.
So now I have to take an AM position
again,
but I am managing like I am a senior manager.
Oh. Fancy. Okay.
So
okay.
I'm in charge of like so the company is going for listing and everything. So I'm in charge of the annual report, the AGMs, the ESGs, ESG initiatives, because now Bursa Malaysia requires that all companies who are listed on the main market have to submit their sustainability report lah.
Mm-hmm.
And blah 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 lah. All that shit.
So you're doing the dirty work.
So I'm doing the dirty work, like the back end work.
To get
everything ready lah.
Fun. But pay good?
Pay is not bad lah.
Okay.
It's enough to it aside from me shelling out for like our monthly commitments for both Michelle and I,
mm-hmm.
I have a bit of money to survive the month, not including like the shit that companies don't pay me lah. That goes straight to Michelle.
Okay.
Because I don't give a fuck anymore about that.
Fair enough.
But this one, like I calculated I have enough money to like build a new deck every month lah.
Oh my god, that's a lot of money. That's not bad. Hey, that's not bad. Yeah. That is not bad at all. So, I am very very proud of you.
So if I don't build a deck, I can just invest in new sets. 2 months
you can get a new set.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 months. Like 2 months you can get a draft booster. 2 months you can get set booster set.
Yeah. So the reason why I was AWOL for a really long time, and this is including my entire life though.
Mm-hmm.
My friends haven't seen me, my flag football teammates haven't seen me, Henry hasn't seen me. Like my family hasn't seen me.
The only
person who has actually seen me regularly seen me is my wife. That's it.
Of course.
That's it.
Of course.
Right? And the reason for that is that my office is based in Ampang. So it doesn't make sense for me to drive from Kota Kemuning to Ampang every single day.
It doesn't.
Right. So then I got an apartment in Ampang, and then for the like previously for the past like 1-2 weeks I was just like moving stuff there and everything, and then getting settled, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And then like after that, like I would go to work, I'd come back work.
Mm.
Go work, come back work. Friday night I would head back to Kota Kemuning and spend time with Michelle because I do not see her throughout the entire week.
Yes.
So it's more of like getting my finances in order. plus spending more time, trying to spend more time with my wife.
I think you're doing okay so far, Sodi, because you have enough for your commitments.
Yeah.
And you also have enough for your hobbies, which is, to me, a substantial amount when you say that you can actually build a deck, because you can build a cheap deck, but at this point of time, I don't think you want to build a cheap deck anymore.
But bro, like, the one reason which I noticed for the entire month, right, the one reason why I'm able to do that is because, right, this company takes care of its employees. Bro,
so nice.
Breakfast ada. Lunch ada.
Hey.
Right.
Hey.
Dinner sometimes pun ada.
Hey, okay. Okay.
So, my apartment from my office is 3 minutes away by driving tau.
Oh.
Right. Parking company cover.
Nice, very nice.
So you have season parking that you don't have to pay for. So literally, like, the only thing I pay for is my petrol, my toll, whenever I go back to Kota Kemuning, right?
Cantik.
And my petrol, I calculated, full tank lasts me about 2.5 weeks.
And you don't drive around.
I don't drive around, because fuck, it's Ampang. Where the fuck are you going to go, right?
Pandang Indah.
We are in Pandang Indah.
Exactly.
We are in Pandang Indah. But there's like
Ampang Hile.
We're in that area lah. So like, but there's nothing, you know. There's
pretty much nothing.
Literally nothing.
It means I can find you from Pudu, no?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So like, and then lunch hour is like my company punya time is flexible.
Nice.
As long as you complete the 9 hours lah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can come in at like, I can freaking come in at like 11 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
But I just need to finish, complete the 9 hours. I don't give a shit. And it's not including lunch tau. Yesterday I had a 4 hour lunch break, because my boss was feeling,
Friday.
Yeah, because my boss was feeling peckish.
Whoa. So, wow.
So he was, so kan semalam cuti, like, okay, Wednesday.
Technically it's a cuti lah.
Thursday cuti.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So a lot of people took off on Friday.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So the only people in my office was like me, a few other colleagues from marketing, and then like my boss.
Uh-huh.
And then my boss was like, okay, fuck it lah. Like,
Let's just go makan.
Mm. So 12 sampai pukul 3.
Wey, we were out. Shot
and
lah.
we went to Pavilion.
Ooh.
To makan Hai Di Lao. So then that was
so
my...
you got Chinese people just randomly singing at Malay people. Going like, what is going on?
So right. I told my boss, like, oh, I've never eaten at Hai Di Lao. This is my first time. Oh really? Why? Oh, because I heard like Hai Di Lao is only for single people.
No, not really. It's actually, it's surprising that you know how some places or like some restaurants that sell food,
yeah.
Hai Di Lao surprisingly sells experience, which the food is, to me, the food is subpar.
Okay,
it's steamboat.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's hot pot.
Yeah.
How wrong can you get your hot pot?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Everything you do yourself.
Yeah.
So you fuck up, it's on you.
Yeah.
Right? But the only thing Hai Di Lao sells is the experience, because there's so many things and there's so many activities that you can actually do with people at Hai Di Lao you don't think about the food.
Right.
The meat could be like a day old meat or like a week old meat, and you don't fucking care, because by the time you get food poisoning, you remember the experience.
Oh my god! Yeah.
That's that. Because the people there are like, even at the start while you're waiting for food, or while you're waiting to get into the restaurant itself, people are there like, oh yeah, you got some games to play, you got snacks, and you've got water, and then they'll come around to
true.
You. Like, oh, do you need a refill?
And then the noodle guy spinning the noodle around.
Yeah, that fucking gimmick, that one, seriously, man. They just get some teenage kid who has nothing to do in life, right? Come over like, hey, why don't you twirl noodles for us? Just twirl flour, you know? Yeah, people clap at you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're into that kind of shit, you come join Hai Di Lao, right? So I really realized that we don't go there for food. So I asked Wan Chi, like, babe, like, why do you want to go to Hai Di Lao? It's like, oh well, I don't really care about the food. I care about the things that they do for us. Do you know that you at Pavilion? Yeah. At Pavilion Hai Di Lao, you can actually get a free manicure.
Oh shit.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can get a free manicure. So Wan Chi has two free manicure vouchers at Hai Di Lao Pavilion.
Damn.
That's why I say it's not about the food, it's about the service. And if you're single, they'll sing a song for you. If you have a birthday, they'll sing a song for you. Or if you don't want to have the person sing a song for you, you can actually just tell them, hey, just give us a cake and a plate of fruits. And they'll bring it for you.
Mm.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of like Here's what I found out that was fucking interesting about Haidilao is that they have secret codes or their secret words that you have to say in, obviously, in Mandarin, like, because it's a Chinese-oriented shop, right? Certain keywords that you talk to the... You tell the
waiter,
you get you certain stuff.
Yeah.
So if, let's say... I can't remember what the keyword was, but I was supposed to get a toy.
Mm.
So if you say this keyword, you get this toy.
Mm.
If you say that keyword, you get this toy. So Lance and Desi have actually found out about this through Wan Chi.
Okay.
And they've been trying to actually get stuff from Haidilao. Yeah. And they have. So I think Desi had a fairy wand because there was the secret word that they got. And she got it, and she shared it to us. She said, look what we got. So I tried to get it, but they ran out of toys, so they gave us snacks instead, which is kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But yes, so next time, if your boss doesn't know this, you know what to do, right?
Pretty sure he does, like.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does, right? That
we, like, so we were having lunch with a bunch of, like, bankers or so.
Oh.
Like, well, friends of my boss, lah. But, like... Okay. One of the ladies that came, one of the managers that came to lunch at Haidilao with us, her husband was there. Mm. He was a bank product structuring banker for RHB lah.
Chun.
So they're all friends,
right?
Because apparently it's a small Chinese community, mm-hmm. and anyone who speaks Chinese can, like, know each other, kind of shit lah. But yeah, so we were having like lunch with bankers and everything lah.
That's nice lah. I'm really glad that you're enjoying your job.
It's a great company. It's a nice environment. The work is like, I mean, the work is the work lah. You know,
work is work,
like,
work one, is work.
Like, it's nothing new. Yeah. You know, but the challenge is that currently I am, like, learning Cantonese at a
consistent rate.
Yeah, exponential rate because everyone in the fucking company speaks Chinese.
Fuck.
They speak Mandarin, but you can find choice people who speak Cantonese lah. And so right now I'm like, okay, try to grasp Cantonese as fast as possible and then move on to Mandarin.
Actually, you're in a good spot because in KL, generally people speak Cantonese.
Yeah.
Especially your part of KL.
Yeah.
Pudu, Ampang, they're all Cantonese speakers. I mean, they all generally speak Mandarin, but their main mother tongue is Cantonese.
Yeah.
So which is very great, which is great. So that's what I usually, I mean, with me as well, I'm lucky enough that I was raised Cantonese. So when I went to Pudu, it was very easy to assimilate.
Yeah.
But it was a problem slowly because my company is also damn Chinese.
Yeah.
So I had to deal with that. But I wouldn't say that they're damn Chinese lah. I mean, when you're run by a Singaporean, I think it's very hard to get away from being English educated.
This company like full on, like,
property, right?
Yeah, property, but full on Chinese lah. Full on Chinese, like we go to lunch.
Are you with Genting?
No, I'm not Genting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not with Genting. But yeah, fuck Genting. Genting is giving me problems.
Hey, Uncle Dim, okay lah. Don't lah. Uncle Dim, give me 50 ringgit, you know.
Genting Skyworld amusement park. Wow, damn, giving me a headache, man. Because, like, my company's name is exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's spelled exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have to, like, skew the image away from it being Genting.
So you're not Genting?
I'm not Genting.
At all. Oh.
Yeah.
That's why I thought. Because you had the Sky, you wore your uniform to one of the magic things. Yeah.
See?
And I saw Sky was like, oh, okay, you're with Genting.
See?
Yeah.
That is, Genting did us dirty, man. That's why, like, my job right now is so stressful because we're trying to skew it away from the Genting image.
Right.
When I say Sky, I work at Skyworld, people will assume, like, oh, Genting one ah. I'm like, no. No, it's not Genting.
It's like Bukit Jalil. When I told them I'm from Bukit Jalil, they said, oh, the sports school? I'm like, no, I'm not that athletically gifted.
Right.
I'm from the rich part of Bukit Jalil.
Yeah. So right now, like, it's... Instead of just, like, focusing on normal brand campaigns, I have to focus on skewing the company away from the Genting Skyworld amusement park image.
That's tough. That's... It's not fun.
Fucking Genting did us dirty way. Chibai.
It's not fun being a brand manager who has to do a lot of stuff just to get brand recognition solely because people just mistake you for someone else. It's just like us trying to be the branding people. We're not a gambling website.
Right. No, this, like, I know for a fact that you're not a gambling website. Like, I know for a fact.
Like, oh, but you're gambling one.
But it's a
Because the law, okay, so here's the thing. The British law system did us dirty with this one. Solely because back then gambling was called gaming.
Yeah.
Right? And nowadays gaming is gaming. Right? Gaming is gaming. So everybody is like, and my dad especially, because obviously he's from the way back then.
Yeah.
Right? When I first told him about my company, I said, I'm working in a gaming company. My dad's like, what? It's like, a gaming company. What do you mean by gaming company? Are you gambling? I was like, no, I'm not gambling. I'm not part of a casino. Yeah. I am part of a gaming company. Do you know what gaming means? I'm like, no. Go and open the law. Go and open this act. I'm just like, what? I opened it. I was like, gaming house.
But it doesn't help for you that like whenever someone asks me like, where does Henry work? I'm like at a gaming company. It's like, gambling. I was like, yeah. He deals with like horse racing and shit.
Wanchi's dad has it even better. He even justified his logic, and I cannot fault him for that, because he's like. I told him I work in a gaming company. Obviously, you know, I'm the boyfriend, and when the father of the girlfriend asks you what you do, he wants to know whether you're doing well or not, right? And I'm here like, I'm a creative content creator, a creative lead in this gaming company. And he goes, what? I'm like, gaming company. He's like, gambling. I was like, it's not gambling, uncle. No, it's gambling. You know why or not? Because when you do all the gacha stuff and you buy all those stuff, that's gambling also, technically. I'm just like,
it's hard to argue against that.
Yeah, it's not wrong lah. Technically, you're gambling, you know. So I'm just like, I guess I'm working in a gambling company. I don't know.
But kudos to him for knowing all the gacha stuff.
Yes. So I was just like,
he probably plays like Genshin Impact or Honkai Star Rail. Yeah.
Did you know that I found out? So, over the period of these 2 months that you were missing, I was doing a project in the company where I would wrap up news.
I watched that. I watched those.
Wrap of the week, right?
Yeah.
And this whole season has been produced by my intern.
Okay.
Which I'm very, very thankful for, because he's a fucking good intern.
Yeah.
So Jason, if you're listening to this, fuck you. but like, he's a great intern. And one of the news that he shared to me was that this Valorant team in Hong Kong actually got an auto forfeit because one of the players were playing Honkai Star Rail.
Oh my god. What?
So here's the context, right? So they were playing in this majors, right? And it was a LAN tournament. Mm. No, actually not a LAN tournament, it was an online tournament, which means that there were some server things that they had to go through.
Yeah.
So what they do is they actually have a turnaround.
Okay.
And this turnaround takes time.
Yeah.
About maybe 15 to 45 minutes, right? It's quite long for a turnaround. So during this turnaround, one of the players actually started
playing Honkai.
Right?
Just to pass the time.
Yes. But he forgot that he was still waiting for the turnaround.
Oh.
So he didn't get in on time and his whole team forfeited.
Oh, yeah. Because it's not something that you can just like, just pop to talk.
Correct. You know? You have to like, you know, Kafka's doing this thing.
Yeah.
Like, I just gotta wait till Kafka calls me a good boy.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how he forgot. He just lost track of time and his team forfeited in the majors.
Holy shit.
And I'm just like, yo, that's like a big fuck up in the online gaming industry, you know? And I was like, well, you can't fault yourself on that one. When you have waifus, you can't stop.
Yeah.
You can't stop, you know? You gotta play your waifu. That you can't do anything about that. But anyways, I'm glad that we are back. There's a lot of things that we have missed out on.
I know I missed out on the things that are going on in your life, Henry. What has been going on? I know I wasn't the first to congratulate you, but I was.
You were the first to congratulate me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
You were the first, yeah.
So if those listening like didn't know, so the Asia Continental Championships for flag football is happening in October.
Yeah.
So Malaysia has been having tryouts to pick the Malaysian squad.
Yeah.
And Henry, congratulations, was selected to represent Malaysia for the Asian Continental Flag Football Championships.
I am I am again really thank you for that. Hold on, let me just get my athlete. I am now a national athlete.
So you will be literally like officially wearing the Malaysia patch.
Technically, yes.
On your jersey.
Yes, yes. Well, there's still another phase where we have to choose 12. But at this point of time, we are still sparring partners until the final selection in the after 3 months.
But you guys are like, let's say
we're
la. Yeah, yeah, we're in the pool. You're in the pool, la.
Yeah, we're in the pool.
It's just that the 12 will be selected to be on the field.
Yes.
But
yes.
Then during training, it will be, this is officially this is the 25.
Pool. Yes. Yeah. That's right, that's right. It's been a very long 3 months.
Yes.
And I have to say that I'm quite thankful that we had this little hiatus as well. Solely because there was a lot of things going on, not with life in general, but it's just personally, like, I think during the second phase of this selection, when I got selected from the first phase, going to the second phase, it was very tough mentally. Yeah. Solely because I started having a little bit of imposter syndrome.
I see.
Like, I felt like I didn't belong here.
I see.
It's like, I'm 30 this year, going against 25, 26, or even 20-year-olds, right, who are in this field, who are way more talented than I am, mm-hmm. who are way more athletic than I am. And I would say that I am your typical brand of Chinese boy where I work hard.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like this is the payoff that you get from working hard. But I had to work doubly hard solely because I'm not young anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And I really had a very bad case of imposter syndrome for the first 2 or 3 weeks of the second phase where I went, why am I here? What is wrong? Like, am I supposed to be here? Or, do I deserve to get cut? Like, what made me participate every Tuesday and Thursdays with this bunch of people, right? At that point, it was like 75 players to cut from. So I was just like, shit. I had that, and then after that I had a very long talk with Wan Chi. I had a very long talk with Mark, and I went like, hey man, how do you deal with this kind of imposter syndrome, because I really don't know what I'm doing here. And Mark just said, like, you know what, just believe yourself lah. You are here already. Just fucking do what you're supposed to do and just play football, man. And I went, you're right. You know what? I'm just overthinking it. Just go and play football. So then I did. I played football. Then the third phase was a little bit better. There were times where it was great. There were times where it was shitty. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
This selection was a make it or break it for me.
Yeah.
So if I wasn't selected for the Malaysian team, I had told myself that I would, next year would be my last year. I would have retired. Because, you know, life. Life is there, you know. And well, it happened. I still don't know how to process it.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna have lunch yesterday with Afzal, Mark, Lance and Desi.
Yeah.
So I was rushing off from gym. There was still no news about the selection. I was like, fuck this. You know what? I just leave it up to fate. If I don't get it, I don't get it. But fuck it, right? And then I went to have lunch with the bunch, and Mark looked at me and he went, "You're in." I'm like, "Huh?" He's like, "You're in." He's like, "No, don't fuck with me, man. Like, don't fuck with me. I'm not in. No, I'm serious. You're in." And he points at my name and I'm like, "Fuck, I'm in." Like, okay, what the fuck? So yeah, I wanna like take this time, like, obviously people wouldn't listen to this, but like, I want to thank Windra for like believing in me. Even, you know, given the circumstances that we've been in the last 6 years, like in this sport, obviously there were some things where probably I had some perceptions about Windra, but you know, coming into these 3 months, you know, it's changed a lot. I respect the shit out of him right now. And like, really thankful that he put a little bit of faith in this 30-year-old, like, thinking that, you know, this guy can actually fucking do it. Why the fuck not, right? So, yeah, there it is.
I think it's more like experience over age.
Pretty much. But there was a lot of relearning that had to be done. That's why the imposter syndrome came in. You think you're the best in the country, but then you realize that, like, actually, you're not even at the top of your game yet. You're not even at the top of the international level at
you
all.
Think, like, because JJ is your sister, you're not even the best in the house.
Pretty much. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. She's younger than I am, but she's the better daughter. She's the better child.
You're not even the best flag football player in the house.
No.
And JJ just comes in and just sweeps everything.
Yeah, and she just goes in like, I don't want to play anymore. Fuck you guys. And I'm just here like, I've been doing this for 6 years. That's yeah, just give me 3 months. Just give me 3 months and I'll fucking pick the ball or something like that.
Is that interview with the Beatles when they asked like, is Ringo the best drummer in the world? And then Paul was like, he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles. It's kind of that shit, you know?
Yeah. I'm Ringo Starr. Hello, Ringo.
But yeah, congratulations on getting into the Malaysia team.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. It's been a lifelong dream.
Yes.
I did set myself out, I think a few years back, that if there were ever a setup to represent the country, I would try.
Yep.
And it happened. Again, I'm still processing it. I'll probably really realize this next week when we have a break. I'll go like, oh shit.
We're just giving you a break, huh?
Yeah, we're getting a week off.
Nice.
Yeah, which is a nice takeaway because there's a lot of things happening after this. I've got 3 weeks to really brush up on my Japanese before I go to Japan.
Yeah.
Other than just being, you know, obviously life is not just about flag football, unfortunately. I have work as well, and I'm having like a very, very interesting time with interns because we are too cheap to hire permanent staff. Yeah. So interns are the cheaper way to go. And I have a lot of questions for the interns or the colleges that are churning out the interns now.
Yeah.
My first question is, what the fuck?
Dude, in what sense?
Education in terms of universities now, in terms of soft skills, is dog shit.
Okay.
It's very, very bad.
Okay.
And I'm pleasantly surprised that the current crop of interns that are coming out are poor. Poor not in the sense that they can't do work, poor in the sense that they have very terrible work ethic.
Okay. Let's discuss that.
Yeah. Very terrible work ethic. So I'll give you an example. Right now, we are on to our 6th and 7th interns.
Oh yes. Man, the 6th and 7th interns. The turnover is high.
Because the period for internship is very weird. Like some of the unis only have it for 2 months. So my intern who just left only had 2 months. So I didn't have enough time to teach him stuff. But fortunately for me, this intern himself has already interest in doing all the things that I'm currently doing.
Right.
Which meant that assimilating into what I want him to do was a lot easier, which meant that his learning time was faster, right? Then cut back to now, I don't have a production intern because I don't really need one yet. And I have some interns who are there for production when I need them. And I see them work and I go like, what the fuck is wrong with these people, right? I have one now who's a design intern. He was initially helping me out with production for a while before my intern came in, my ex-intern came in. He is what I would call an idiot. just very frankly, an idiot.
Okay.
I've never seen someone so...
incompetent?
Not incompetent, but in Malay, it's called lurus. I wouldn't say gullible. Gullible doesn't cut it.
Not naive.
Naive, yeah. Naive is much better. Naive.
Lurus actually like sums it up pretty nicely. For those who don't understand what lurus is, there's no way to like
explain
lurus. But when you know Malay, like you know what lurus means.
Yeah.
And you can even imagine like the sort of things that person does because they're so lurus.
Correct. IYK, you know? So I get this guy. First thing first, he's not taught proper work ethic solely because I don't give a shit about hierarchy in a company, but there needs to be a certain level of respect when it comes to speaking to your seniors.
Right.
Number one, he doesn't have that.
Right.
Right. Number two, he's an oddball.
Yeah.
Right. I understand. I'm okay with oddballs, but when you project that oddity out to everybody at the first impression, you're not gonna have a good time.
That's true.
Right. What I'm saying is, if you have a quirk, hide it for a while before you show it, right? Play your cards right, and you can comfortably assimilate even if you are the weirdo in the group, right? Nobody will fucking care, right? But this guy, first thing off the bat, was really odd, and we really like, oh shit, okay, never mind.
We got a weirdo.
Yeah. Instantly, our company, my group, my team was just like, yep, we've got a weirdo, right? Now we go into the work ethic part.
Okay.
Right.
Wait, now, wait. For what was his weird quirk?
He's just a retard. Okay. He wants to act as if he has Tourette's, but he doesn't have Tourette's.
Ah.
You know, he's just weird. Like, you know, when you have awkward silences, he'll just be there like,
holy fuck. He has those tics.
Yeah. And he doesn't have Tourette's, right? He doesn't have Tourette's. He puts Louis Capaldi to shame.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Okay.
Louis Capaldi suppresses it for the show, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Louis Capaldi, right? Yeah, Louis Capaldi.
Louis Capaldi, yeah.
Yeah. So Louis Capaldi actually has Tourette's. So, and like, he doesn't suppress it, whatever. I don't give a shit about that. I can deal with it, but it just gets annoying, right? Okay, first thing off the bat, work ethic-wise.
Okay.
We have two offices, I told you before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we go between Pudu and PJ.
Yeah.
We were at the PJ office, and we knew that there was a lot more convenience downstairs, amenities downstairs.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was going to go to get a coffee at MCOT Mall.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to go and get a coffee. Right, I'm just about to walk down. I just asked my colleague, like, hey, want to go downstairs, get a coffee? He's like, okay, cool. And this intern looks at us and goes, where are you going? Right, he goes, where are you going?
Bro, fucking mind your own business, bro.
Yeah. Okay, that's one. I'll explain more after this.
Yeah.
It's like, where are you going? I said, oh, just Jeffrey and I are going to get a coffee. And he looks at me. It doesn't cross his mind that this is the other way around, but he goes, can you get me one too? And I went, and I'm a nice guy,
yeah,
right? So I don't put much thought into that. I say, sure, I'll get you a coffee. That's no problem. And I walk halfway down. And as we were in the lift, right, my designer and I just looked at each other and went, isn't that supposed to be his job?
Exactly. Did he just ask us for a fucking coffee?
Yeah, did he just ask me to go and buy coffee for him? Did he not offer himself to go downstairs and buy coffee?
Yeah.
Right? And I was just like, okay, you know what? Never mind.
Just to explain to the listeners right now, right? Okay, fine. Like, Henry and I, we have the same mentality. We're like, hierarchy, we don't give a shit about hierarchy. Right?
Respect.
But respect is important. And like, I totally understand where, and Henry's not being a jackass about it.
No,
or whatever.
No, I'm not.
But I totally understand where he's coming from. Where, like, because we've been
interns
at the bottom
before. Yeah.
We've been interns before. We've been at the bottom of the flagpole before.
Yeah, and I can tell you right now, the current generation who are listening to this, and they're like, "Oh my god, how could they? Like, how are you having this?" It's not a hot take.
Yeah.
This is the reality that it is back then for us, right? We used to be the people that, like, hey, go get us coffee.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even a please, it's just, hey, go fucking get us coffee.
Yeah. And we are where we have earned the right to boss people around.
Correct.
Because we have been bossed. So, and back when we were working those years and years and years before,
It was worse.
There was no polite decorum though. There was no polite decorum.
Correct.
Like, how I treat my interns now, right?
Yeah.
It's so much different.
Very different, very different.
Hi, can you please pass me this piece of information? Last time, right, you just get barked orders.
Yeah, it's like, hey, get it for me.
Yeah.
I don't care how you get it.
I need it now.
Yeah. It's like, I remember when I was in the radio station, which I won't name. I was like constantly egged on because our guest was fucking late and we had to book a studio and our studio had a booking schedule, right? And we had to beg the other announcers to delay their recording for like 45 minutes because these guys were late, and I was just there like constantly being hounded on by my supervisor. Where the fuck are they? Where the fuck are they? You're supposed to be responsible for this shit. Don't tell me you don't know. And I'm just there like stressed out, holding my cigarette, just smoking. Like I cannot take it because it was so stressful, right?
Yeah.
And then when they finally came, and then at the end of the day, I get a telling off from because the guests were late. It's not even my fault, right? But that's the life of being a fucking intern.
Hey, nowadays interns are so protective of their
well-being and stuff like that.
After office hours and their weekends. Last time, like, you didn't have weekends, bro.
No, man.
You an intern, you did what? Like, if, let's say, my boss texts me at, like, midnight to get him a piece of information or like to settle something, right? You like it or not, you just like bangun. You cannot tell like, boss, I'm sleeping, don't kacau me.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get it the next day.
Yeah. It's like, then I hire you for what?
Then interns now, fucker, like during lunch hour, right? Like not even lunch hour, after lunch hour, they'll still be out. They'll still be out, and then I'll be texting them and saying like, hey, can you get this for me? Oh, I'm outside, I don't have my laptop. Okay, fucking come back then.
Yeah. Are they in the office? Are they based in the office, the interns? Or are they based at home?
See, based in the office.
See, that's much better because you have watchful eyes on them. But yeah. but because my company is hybrid, so they're not here.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so going back to this guy's work ethic, that's just number one.
Yeah.
Right? Number two, the one thing I don't like is when you project your ego out as an intern. I don't give a fuck whether you are the most talented person in your current batch of college mates.
Yeah.
But once you start showing us your ego, don't forget that we also have egos, you know.
Yeah.
And we know how to handle people's egos better than
you.
Right? Because you're just a fresh college student coming out to the workforce.
The only people you had to deal with were your college mates and your lecturers.
Yeah, and probably your college mates were very passive.
Yeah.
Right? Because they were IT students, right? They don't give a shit. They're like, you help me do my assignment, I do low.
Yeah.
You know? And you get people like here where you go like, oh yeah, you know, I got this CGPA, I got this what, I'm a self-learned designer.
Who gives a shit? Can you do work?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so I don't give a fuck about what your accolades are. You have good shit. Yeah. Can you prove it to us here or not?
Yeah.
And his style of work is something which I call a big no-no in any industry, which was do first, check later. He likes to expedite his work so that he has time for himself to do his own projects, which in doing work hours is for me fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And we have caught him numerous times doing his own projects at work.
Oh my god.
Because the thing is, right, look, I don't care whether you are a freelancer, I don't care whether you do this or not, but when you are working 9 to 5, you work 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Right? You don't do your own projects.
Yep.
Right? Only if you're working from home, you can hide it. Pandai-pandai, like you hide.
Yeah lah.
Right? Now, that's a flexibility that you have. But if you cannot deliver your work, then don't expect you having time to do this kind of stupid shit.
Yeah,
lah,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, it begs the question like, oh, are we giving him enough work or not?
Yeah, because he has time to do other shit, right?
Can. But then the quality of the work that he has is terrible.
Yeah.
And we're like, why are you rushing this? We ask him countless times now. This is his third month. We ask him, why are you rushing your work? I don't get it. Why? It's like, oh no, because
Always has an excuse.
Yeah, always has an excuse, and that's the problem. And that's another problem I have with this intern. He doesn't just say, "Oh my bad."
I'll redo it.
Yep. What else do you want me to put to add here? Right. My bad. That's my bad. Right. Kids, like college students who are going out for internships, sometimes the biggest thing you have to learn is where to take the L and where to take the W. You gotta know where you can win, you gotta know where you need to lose. Because there are times where if you try to fight this long battle, you end up having a shittiest time of your life in the internship.
Yep.
And your superiors, right? The smart superiors know how to bully you.
Yeah.
And you won't even realize that they're bullying you, right? But there are companies that are just blatantly razzing on to your interns, but there are companies who know how to fucking razz their interns without even them realizing it, right?
Yeah.
Some kind of weird ninjutsu shit that you go like, oh fuck, man, these guys were assholes, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I had that a lot of times really, right? Some internships you're just like, fuck, these guys were assholes. But I didn't know, right? Yeah. And this intern just shows it out there like, yeah, come, razz me. I'm like, okay.
Ooh, little cocky prick, huh?
Yeah. It's like, all right, you want me to razz you? Sure, I'll razz you. Okay. He's been a dick to me.
Yeah.
And he's constantly delivering 50% work. And I'm going like, bro, stop giving 50% work and just give 100%.
They know this is an internship, right? And you eventually have to come up with a report, right?
Yeah. I don't know whether they realize this or not. Like, I'm like looking at his supervisor.
Yeah.
His direct supervisor, and I'm going, does he know that he has to report this to his superiors eventually, or we will tell the lecturers what he has done, because he doesn't look like he realizes it.
Yeah.
Right. And yesterday was the biggest I exploded. And it was the first time I ever I think it was very nicely written out.
Yep.
But I was pissed.
Yep.
I was very pissed. So basically, he had fucked up twice this week.
Okay.
One was we had a client project that we were doing, and he was in charge of the project. Why are we giving him client work? Is he just understaffed, right? So it's the best way to kind of get your experience.
Yeah.
And he does it. And we find out after we posted it, and we already put a campaign up for about a week already, that there were a lot of mistakes in the images and the collaterals that he had passed us. He didn't check his work. It was on our social media guy for not checking as well. But when we realized this, one of our colleagues was like, "Hey, there's a fuck ton of mistakes in this campaign." I'm like, "What do you mean? Just check it." And I said, and my social media guy went, "Fuck, we are fucked." Right? Because this client is looking at us going like, "What is going on and why is this like this?" And then we found out that he got his information from somewhere else, which was wrong.
Oh my God.
And he didn't check it with us. He didn't double check it with us. He didn't even ask us to check it. Right? And then we went on a long call with him saying like, "Why did you do this? What was it?" And every single thing that he said, "Oh, I thought this one, I'm just like, one more time you tell me you thought about something,
yeah,
I think you need to terminate your internship
and
not think about anything else and just continue studying.
Yeah.
Just fail your internship. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought you can pass this one also." and then, okay, so that was that. Fixed the problem, right? Luckily, it wasn't that costly because the clients were very lenient about it, right? Then comes another problem, which was one of the templates that was handed over to him. We have a set of templates that we pass our interns to use, and he can tell us straight in our eye and go, "I never got this template." I'm like, "But we have a set for you." "I don't have it." "What do you mean you don't have it?" It's like, did our designer not pass to you? "Not that I recall of."
"Not that I recall of."
And I'm like, "Bro, you've been with us for 3 months."
Such a blasé way of saying like, "Don't know."
"Don't know, yeah." And like, "But you've been..." And I looked at him, I went, "But you're with us for 3 months."
Yeah.
"3 months, and you tell me you don't know about this." He's like, "I really don't know." I'm like, "Okay, have you asked?" "No." "Why?" "Don't know."
"Don't know."
Yeah. "I just thought that I don't need to do this. I just got handed over this." I'm like, "Okay. So maybe our fault for not handing over it to you properly, but you do know that we have a certain set of templates that we have, right?"
Yeah.
He's like, "Yeah. So why did you never ask?" "Oh, I thought I don't have to do this." I'm like, "Okay, great." Then I went on a long ass call out in the group and go, "Hey, maybe next time, just fucking double check your work and don't just tell me that you don't fucking know." Right? We're not monsters. Just ask us.
Yeah.
Right? We can take 5 minutes off our time from our busy schedule to answer you, to cater to you. You just have to ask and not think that you know everything.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at him and said, like, "What is it? What is it that you don't understand? What is it that you don't know? Or what is it that you want to know? You ask now."
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was so frustrating to deal with this kind of people because solely because his ego is there.
Yeah.
Right? All he has to do is just be fucking humble.
Yeah.
Just put your head down and you will realize that there's so many things you haven't fucking learned yet.
Yeah.
Right? And that is the problem that I have with interns now. The number one thing that I have with young kids nowadays is that I don't know where they got it from, but this ego that they have of not wanting to ask from superiors or not wanting to ask from older people because you can find out yourselves. And then when you got caught, when you get caught, you just have the balls to look at the senior in the eye and go, "I have no idea how to do this. Can you please help me?" Bro, it's like you stab the person already, you think you know CPR or you know how to heal a guy, and then you don't know how to heal the guy. The guy is dying. You go over to the guy. You go over to Henry. "Henry, please help me. I have no idea what to do with this guy." "But you stabbed him." It's like, "But yeah, I thought I can save him."
Yeah.
It's so stupid, you know. The new interns nowadays are just fucking frustrating, dude.
At least
fucking
you don't get interns from UITM. Those are fucking worse.
I rather have interns from UITM, dude.
Bro, like, but then again, like, interns from UITM, right, they think that they can get through life with just understanding BM.
Yeah.
Not knowing that out there, unless you're working in a government office, right?
Yeah.
Which I doubt you ever will. you're working with private companies, and private companies are basically just the environment now is basically English speaking lah.
Mm.
Unless like you are targeting the above 50 Chinese demographic lah, then yeah, everything is Chinese lah.
Yes, correct.
But everything is in English.
Yeah.
So like you get interns from your ITM who have like low, zero to low grasp of the English language,
mm,
but they try to pass off themselves as
proper English speakers.
Proper English speakers lah.
Good lah. Good, very good.
Yeah, and then their work is subpar lah.
Yeah.
Like, cannot be used at all. So then, it makes my job harder because I have to clean up
called,
your mess.
And then when they get called out, they complain on Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
And say my internship is hell because my superior is terrible.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the company gets a bad rap because yeah, you're the asshole.
And then some jackass on Twitter suggests, hey, why don't you complain on Glassdoor?
Oh,
and
no.
And our rating goes down.
No.
Fuck Glassdoor, man. The I mean, only, like, good for me when I was looking for a job, yeah, la, yeah, but yeah, not yeah, now yeah, that I'm in a company.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank God I'm not working for Joey Yap. if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go to Joey Yap Academy and find his Glassdoor, the reviews in Glassdoor. It's fucking amazing. It's a right to me.
Also,
yes, Amateur Academy as well. Amateur Guys, Academy. Just don't work with Chinese people. Don't work with Chinese people, seriously. Older CEOs have an ego. Just you're just there to suck his dick only.
Young Chinese CEOs have an ego.
Yes, young Chinese CEOs have an ego. And a skyline. Some JDM. For sure it's a JDM.
I'm glad that the upper management for my company is like chill as fuck. Because we had an event the other day, and I can honestly say that my company is a bunch of alcoholics, man. Like even the CEO and the chairman.
Mm.
So it was after the event, everyone was chilling and everything.
Work hard, play hard, people.
Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play harder.
Oi, sure. Okay, nice.
So my office, where the brand comms department is, we have a cabinet. Mm. That cabinet is full of liquor.
Ooh.
Like, I kid you not, the amount of liquor that we have at our disposal is like crazy. So we were having an event, and then it was all the important guests have fucked off already.
Mm-hmm.
So now it was just like
after party,
the colleagues were just chilling and drinking.
Yep.
And my CEO and my chairman walk around with a bottle of like Glenfiddich, like tubering people.
Nice. I like it. So
then my chairman finds out that like I drink. He tips my head back. My CEO comes in with a bottle, just
fuck. I bet you were fucked that night.
And my chairman is like 60 plus.
Nice lah. This is nice lah. This is nice. That's nice.
He's a fucking Dato' Sri.
Oi, that's nice. That's nice.
He tips my head back. My CEO comes in.
You drink one ah? Come on.
But my chairman, he's this full on Chinese guy lah, Chinese uncle lah. But his Malay
is good.
Fucking good.
Anthony look good or what?
Better, bro.
Oh damn!
Like
okay.
he has a Cantonese accent.
Wow. Yeah. No way.
Yeah, legit.
What?
They're more catchy. Like fuck it lah. Like, he tries to speak to me with the Cantonese accent. I can't understand a single thing, right? And then he switches to Malaysian Bahasa Baku. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay, Datuk.
That's nice. Yeah, but my job has just been dealing with interns, lah. You know, it's very interesting because now we have a thing where we always get two interns.
Yeah.
And it's a 50-50.
Yeah.
It's a sure 50-50, which means that one will be normal, the other will be a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
It's always that. Right, my intern is considered normal, and then now we've got this guy who is a fucking weirdo.
Yeah,
and then now we've got a new batch of interns that are in, who one who's with us for 2 months and the other one who's with us till September as well. The one intern is normal, the other one is a fucking full on weep.
Holy shit!
He talks with this cocky posh accent, which I fuck. You know what? This is terrible, but you know he has a punchable face. like me. Like, I have a punchable face, but I've learned how to suppress it by being nice. But because he's not nice. Yeah, and because he's not nice, he gets the brand of most punchable face award.
Oh my god. Right?
So yeah, the next batch of interns, I'm looking forward to see who's the normal one, whether we get the normal one or we get the weird one.
But bet la. We put up a like, yeah, so, set up
so,
a bet.
So me and my team are just like, okay guys, so let's see, next batch of interns coming in, are we gonna get the normal one, are we gonna get the weird one? Let's find out. Put in, you take your eyes first. Wager, take your eyes first. Okay, after that, if you want to up the games, we be up it to Kyochon.
Oh.
After Kyochon, then we get a full on meal at Tony Roma's or something like that. We'll try and see, you know, if we get it, then we get it like that. So it is what it is. We work, man. But interns nowadays, man, I don't know what colleges are teaching you, man. I'm just saying from pure experience, because last time when I was interning, when I was doing my internship, I had a full semester where there was an internship prep course.
Mm.
I don't know whether UITM gave you that or not when you were doing yours.
Can't remember.
Yeah, but like I had a full prep course where, you know, it was like how to write your resume, how to make a creative resume, how to do this, how to act in front of your company, how to act in front of workplaces, you know, what is the proper work ethic and stuff like that. I don't think nowadays colleges do that anymore.
Did you see that post on Twitter that's going around? That
this girl.
Internship is not a free labor or something. Bukan buruh bercuma, some shit like that. Okay, fine. Memang, it's not free labor.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not free labor.
Yeah.
Fine. But you have to understand that this is part of your cost, though.
Yep.
It's part of your cost. So, it's companies are opening their doors so you can get a degree.
Yes.
Can.
Yes.
Argue all you want that it's not free labor, fine.
Yep.
We will pay you for the labor that you bring into company. Right.
No problem.
But can you perform?
Ah.
That's the question. Not free labor, but you're so high and mighty about your skills and everything, about like, you are a small fish. You are a big fish in a small pond, and you're coming out into the ocean. Where there are bigger fish.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you can be as cocky as you want in your uni. You can, like, speak to your colleagues in an American accent and everything, but can you put out work?
Correct. And I can tell you right now, a lot of these people with this kind of mentality will have the biggest reality check that they have in their life when they come to internship.
Exactly.
Because remember, guys, even though you're an internship, some companies will put you out there where your accountability is way higher than what you expect. And when that accountability becomes higher than way more than you expect, your responsibility doubles. And when you cannot live up to the responsibility, you are going to get fucked hard.
Oh, man. Right?
And you think your lecturer giving you a rap on the wrist is going to be a problem for you. Wait till you go into the real world where your CEO said, we just lost millions of dollars thanks to you.
Mm.
That doesn't even cut how bad you feel.
That's your colleagues punya bonus tau.
Yeah, it's like you're telling me this company of 100 people just lost their bonuses because of an intern.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine the shit that you will get as an intern when they find out that their bonuses are cut from people who have been working for 10-15 years?
Yeah. Who actually give a shit about the company.
Yeah, who actually give a shit about the company. They look at you and go, ni dasar intern ni macam buat mistake semua tu, ingat senang ke? Dapat senang tu, tengok ah.
And knowing fucking interns like this, right, they just like brush it off like, it's not my problem.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, that's the worst.
But this industry is small.
Yes, people remember you. Regardless of where you go in the community, where you go and do your job, even in the big four, right? If you're in an internship in an accounting firm, people will still remember you. You're a fucking accountant. You have an ACCA, you have certifications. People know your fucking name from the record books. They can find it.
People think, interns think, like, those people who just joined this industry, right, whatever industry, like, think that, okay, I'm working for company A.
Yeah.
Company A is a competitor to company B. But sure, we're competitors. But you have to understand that when we're in a small industry, we don't think of company B as competitors, though. We think them as partners.
Yes.
And we are actually quite close to the people in company B.
Correct.
Because we're both trying to build up this industry. When the industry grows larger, then there are more opportunities for each of the companies to grow.
Yes. But your name will still be there.
Yeah. So when you fuck up in company A, company B will know.
Yes. And then if you go to company C, D, E, F, G,
it's the same shit.
Aren't you the intern that fucked up in company A? They will still remember, because all they have to do is just give a phone call. Right?
Yeah.
Go like, hey, this guy interned your company before, right? How was he? That's all they have to ask. Right? That's all they have to ask. It's like, how was this intern? How was his time with your company? The moment your boss tells you, or the direct supervisor goes to you and goes, oh, he's the one that caused us to lose our bonuses, you are fucked for life, bro. And then you can complain all you want about how the industry is treating you damn badly because of what you did. But it's your fault.
Exactly.
You fucked up.
Like, and I'll tell you how small the prop. Even though the property industry in Malaysia is huge, right?
Huge.
But I will tell you that the relationships we have with other companies, with other valuers, with other consultants, with the media and everything,
yeah,
we're quite tight.
Very tight.
I can literally right now give a like, call up my competitor, punya boss.
Yeah.
No, the comms person, department, the department and the boss, and just have a quick conversation.
Yeah.
That's how close a lot of these companies are.
People always think that, oh yeah, we are rivals in this one, but actually it's a very healthy ecosystem in the industry, where yeah, whichever industry you work, because eventually you still have to work with your competitors.
Yeah.
Because somehow you'll be in an event together.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't matter who gets the most sales.
Yeah.
You guys still have to do something about it, and then in the end you guys work together about something. Yeah. Right? To a certain goal. Right? Everybody's supposed to reach a certain goal. It's a business kind of thing. Right? Eventually you have to work with your competitors. Eventually you have to work with your rivals. Eventually you have to do this.
Because you're industry partners.
Yeah. Right? You are rivals, yes, you're competitors by name, but you still work.
Exactly.
Right? It's still the same job. It's still the same line. You still share shit.
And like, if you're in that industry for so long, all you do is just jump different companies, yeah, but in the same industry, yeah.
Yeah, so people remember you a lot. So interns, just because you, I don't know, like, just you need to learn accountability at the very lot. Like, the work ethics part about it is learning how to take responsibility. We're not asking you to like, coming from an employee perspective now that, you know, I'm at that stage right now, right? Like, when you are an intern, people want you to learn so that, you know, you get an impression. When you get an impression, people remember you well when they speak good words about you, right? Yeah. We're not asking you to suck dick. We're not asking you to board it. Mm. We're just asking you to do your fucking job well.
Yeah.
That's it. And the things that we give you also is not that hard to do. You know, we know your level.
Yep.
Right? You may not be the best in this one. We let you train. We let you try. If it's good, good lah. Then after you can continue already, well, right? That's how I got my editing stuff like down pat. I was with Reading Production. I was shit at editing, but then towards the end of the internship, I did very well. And that's why I'm constantly doing editing stuff nowadays, because, you know, that's what I do best.
But do you feel like, right, and this goes to any employee in any industry, that like whatever you learn during your college years, like the learning curve when you're out in the real world is so steep?
Very steep.
Right.
Very steep. I got my reality check way earlier than I thought I would have. Like right after my internship, I thought I could go into a production house and do my shit, but did the production house also need your skills and stuff like that? And then because I graduated with a communication degree, and I had a minor in digital media.
Yep.
That was a problem as well, because, you know, then after that you come in, you realize that there's so many things that you haven't learned yet that college hasn't given you.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the things that if you don't do well in your internship, you cannot you cannot get it back anymore.
And this has always been the argument that I've always had, is that like I have a bunch of friends who went to uni with me. After they did their degree, they finished their degree, they did their masters, and then immediately after their masters, they got a job teaching.
Mm.
What the fuck do you know about the industry?
Yeah. Right? Correct.
You've never held a job out here in the real world, and now you're teaching kids how to do jobs in the real world.
And then you're only teaching them theories.
Exactly.
No practical elements, because you don't even know it yourself.
Yeah. So what the fuck do you know about the real world?
Yeah.
You know about the working world, or yeah, how like companies do their shit.
Correct.
You know,
I just recently actually I touched base with my lecturer again.
Yeah.
And he's actually offered me a part-time lecturing job.
Yeah.
In my old college. I'm actually considering it solely because it's quite interesting to know what the brains of the current generation is like. And after seeing my experiences with these current interns, I have a little bit of a goal to not just teach them about the theory.
But teach them how to act like yeah, around
but,
people.
But
don't
to
be
actually
a dick.
Be functioning human beings, yeah, rather than, you know, just being robots churning out shit. Right. And I think I don't know, maybe I might take up the job solely because I do want some extra money.
Mm.
This Japan trip has really hurt me in the meow meow in terms of my budget. That's why I've not been buying shit for yeah, Magic anymore. Solely because I've just spent so much on this trip alone. But yeah, like just looking at it, I'm just like, is it my responsibility to change the mindset of the younger generations? No. But if I can turn 10% of the people around
yep,
to what I think a proper work ethic person should be or how the industry works like,
yeah,
then I guess that's my responsibility lah.
Yeah.
Bukan nak jaga tepi kain or what, you know, it's just the generation that is coming up right now is scary in terms of how bleak the future sounds like. Because they are not maybe 1% of the current generation are initiative takers,
yeah,
who are just there to step up to the game.
Yeah.
But 99% of the current generation are passive fuckers. Right? All they do is just go on TikTok and go like, oh, nah, boleh dapat contact IG tak?
What?
Oh, siapa ni? Oh, siapa ni? Nak tengok link, bagi link. Dia bukan Melayu, so I tak suka blah, 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 all this stupid shit lah. You know Malaysian TikTok,
yeah, right? Yeah.
You just need to tap onto the comment section and you realize that the current generation, we are fucked, right? We're absolutely fucked, the current generation. Just because it's 99% are just passive idiots,
yeah,
right? But and the reality is, it's scary. That's what I'm fucking worried about. Maybe it's just a millennial mindset thing kind of thing.
I blame the lecturers, actually.
Honestly, I do too.
The lecturers, right? Lecturers, like, if you don't properly prepare your students for the working world, right, you give me a hard time.
Betul.
My work is double because of that.
Just because you have an easy ride in... Lecturers' jobs aren't easy. You have to deal with people. You have to deal with characters, right? And you have to deal with papers.
Yeah.
But where is your initiative to teach? Right? Not just be there and just, you know, ride the waves.
Yeah.
Like it shouldn't be that case anymore. Because back then when our teachers were future builders. Like,
yeah.
I'm not kidding. Honestly speaking, my teachers were the best kind of teachers because they actually teach you about life. When you have a certain judgment about something, that they say, why do you have a certain judgment about this? And then they tell you, like, you know, in reality, this isn't the case.
Yeah.
Right? We had teachers who were there to be future builders.
Yeah.
We had teachers who were there to be human character builders or human generators in a certain sense that when we go out and study, or when we go out to do work, regardless lah, you know, SPM ke, STPM ke, or we don't take a degree and shit like that, we still come out being proper human beings, right? And I have my teachers to think about this. But the current generation of teachers who are our age,
yeah,
they don't do that to the kids anymore. What is stopping them? I really don't know, right? So yeah, it's a question lah, going back to chicken and egg again lah. It's like, is it the students' fault, or is it the lecturers' fault, or is it the current generation of students that are terrible, or is it the current generation of lecturers who are just, you know, too tired to give a fuck?
Like, it's fortunate for interns who come into a company and the company is like, they're building, but building at a slower pace, so they're, yeah, taking their time.
Yeah.
But for the interns that like get dumped into a company that are like aggressively expanding or trying to grow their business, right? Yeah. Like, oh, you will really get fucked lah.
Yeah, yeah. You will die at that one.
Everything is fast paced. Everything is like, oh, I need a new campaign. I need a new this. I need a new that. And I need it within this week.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you already have to have like a basic knowledge of how to do campaigns. You have to have a basic creativity of coming up with interesting campaigns or whatever. And this is just me talking about because I'm in branding, right? So our campaigns are basically like, we have short-term campaigns and long-term campaigns. And long-term campaigns can like last for years.
Mm-hmm.
Like even mid-term campaigns, right, last for a year.
Yep.
Short-term campaigns last for several months.
Yep.
Right? And within that several months of launching a campaign, right, a lot of things go into it.
Yep.
It's not just like
maintenance, you know, maintenance,
dealing with the, yeah, event organizer, dealing with the graphic designer, dealing with this, dealing with external parties, correct, blah, 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 blah.
Correct.
Trying to set up your whole shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, lah. Like,
it is.
And if you don't have like a basic understanding of what goes into like something, a project like that,
you better pray hard that your supervisor is kind to you.
Yeah. And that your supervisor actually has time, yeah, to spend to teach you, yeah, all this stuff. Yeah. Otherwise, right, you're just lost.
Yeah, because if your supervisor cannot depend on you for this, right, then you're fucked already.
Yeah.
That goes your internship. Your 3 months over there is just gonna be a blur and you're not gonna learn shit.
Yeah.
Because you're just there to do work.
So then the most famous thing that I usually like hear branding interns get is that, hey, can you source a vendor for me for a specific item? Can you source a vendor for me for a specific item? And if you don't, if you haven't been in the industry for like so many years, like you don't have that at your fingertips.
No, 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 no.
And you have to scour the internet for someone who like, okay, like, okay, simple chenny lah. You go to an intern and say, you go to an intern and say like, hey, I need to source for a vendor for acrylic sculptures.
Mm.
Acrylic sculptures.
Mm.
They don't know what acrylic sculptures are.
Mm.
How are you gonna like look? How are you? Do you expect for them to look for a vendor that offers that?
Correct.
And it's not like acrylic. Acrylic manufacturers are just like, hey, we're a acrylic manufacturer. You know, they're always parked under something else.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Correct, correct, correct.
So you have to look for printing the company. First. Yeah.
Yeah, printing company or manufacturers.
Creative agency.
Creative agency.
Event manager.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Correct, correct.
They're
correct.
Always parked under that.
Correct. Kedai cendera hati. The least place you find acrylic sculptures, they are the ones that you can get them from. Yeah, yeah. Yep. I know exactly how you feel when it comes to that.
So
yeah.
You go to an intern, you say, hey, source for me a vendor, several vendors, so that we can like basic and the quotation and everything.
Yeah,
and then get it to me by the end of the day. How the fuck are they gonna source for that?
They're gonna come back. They're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know where to look for them. And everything. And your boss doesn't have time to explain to you.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I will give you 5 minutes. Ask me any as much questions as you can. After this 5 minutes, you're on your own.
Yeah,
right. If you're lucky, you get those kind of those kind of supervisors, you know, or you get, if you're lucky, the company is a bit more chill. Then you're like, okay, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Okay, let me sit down with you. Let's start looking from here. Okay, I'll help you out with this one first. Yeah. Then only I'm going to do my job, because you know, most of my job is now down to you already.
Oh, like we got you. Do you know any printers?
Fuck, which one printers you
print
want?
Number.
What you want printers?
Xerox. I know. I got
mummy shop. Mummy printing house in Sunway. I don't know. That's all. I'm from One Academy. That's all I know.
I need 100. Like I need to print 100 page books.
Fuck.
But the cover has to be like
hardcover.
And then inside, after the hardcover, there's that upper glossy paper, the glossy finisher, glossy paper.
You want me to find a publishing house? I don't know. Find out yourself. Ooh, good luck. Hey, have a good internship, bro.
Have a good internship.
Have a good internship, bro. That's all I can say. Oh fuck. Seriously, man. Internships. Interns nowadays have it a lot easier than we had before. And honestly, we need to go back to the old days where we had to cry for. You know, the only time we can suffer is at night before we sleep. That kind of
you cry yourself to sleep.
Yeah. That is the type of things that we've gone through before. We're not asking you to experience it, but we do want you to try it one time to realize how fucking terrible internships are.
I have this.
But it builds so much character.
I have this fucking hilarious story about like for the marketing department.
Uh-huh.
So there's this new intern that came in lah.
Nice.
And then one of my colleagues from marketing is like a fucking bitch though. But she's nice. She's just like, she has a wicked sense of humor.
Okay.
So intern comes in. So they're doing a display.
Okay.
Marketing display lah for the projects dekat X. I can't remember where it was lah. Maybe it was like KLIA or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So they goes up to the intern and goes like, hey, I have a project for you. She's already done the back end work though. She's already set everything up. So she has the project down already lah. So she's quite competent at what she does. So she has the project completed already.
Okay.
Vendor dah hire apa semua. For fucks. She goes to the intern. She goes, I have this project for you. It's a really simple project. We want to have a display, right, at this place.
Uh-huh.
Here are the items that I need done.
Okay.
And on the page is basically like quotation for rental space.
Mm-hmm.
The concept design of the thing. So you have like the scale models, you have the whatever lah, the podium, blah 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 blah.
What have you lah? Yeah, all the stuff. Uh-huh.
So she has all those items,
uh-huh.
And it's just point form though.
Oh fuck. Okay.
It's just point form.
Fuck. Fuck. I know where this is going already, but yeah.
Point form.
Fuck.
Can you get this settled by this week? She's nice enough to say this week. Not today, this week.
Okay.
So the intern, so our tables are just, this is my
open office concept.
So this is my table, and then you jalan, then there's another table here, and then it's the marketing department. So every time I have to go to the elevator, I have to pass though. At one point after lunch, I can hear quiet sobbing.
Oh no!
I can hear quiet sobbing because everyone went out to lunch. I was gonna have lunch with Michelle, so I was on my own lah. So as I passed the elevator, I see the intern with the head on the table, just quietly sobbing. and then I go up. I was like, "Fuck! Do I dress this or not? It's not my intern."
Okay. Yeah, it's not my responsibility.
It's not
right?
my responsibility, Oh, I can't, you know, I can't hear just like someone sobbing on their first day.
Yeah. First day. Nice lah. Fuck.
So
okay.
I think it's first day, second day lah. First day they had orientation and stuff like that, but then the second day lah.
Poor thing.
So I go up to her and I'm like, "Are you okay?" Then she goes like, "I don't know how to do this." I'm like, "Can I see?" So I pull the paper. It's an A4 paper with just bullet points.
No. Oh shit.
It's just bullet points. And I go, What do you have to do? I have to settle all these things by this week. I'm like, "Okay, did they give you any information? Like what?" "Oh, this is the concept." So she had Rocky.
Oh.
Yeah. So she had already they had already come up with the concept.
Mm-hmm.
The acrylic manufacturers were already building the Oi! Oi!
Hey, what's up, Addict?
Podcast.
Yeah.
So cute.
Say hello to the podcast.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Rocky. Rocky is our fellow MTG player.
Yes, he's the one that bullies me when I play Commander.
I bully everyone. Take it personally.
Okay,
bye.
Hey, Rocky.
Yes.
Can you collect a card for me? Can you collect a card for me?
I'm the
addict. Okay, it's
send it to me.
I send it to you.
We won't cut this out solely because this is a ride.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay, I'll text you.
What are you doing on this fine Saturday afternoon?
I gotta work, man.
You gotta work?
Yeah.
Collecting,
then I gotta go to work.
Oh, you gotta go to work. Okay.
Rush.
So he's rushing.
So cute. You
rushing
guys are
his.
Just here.
Yeah, we do. This is our spot. CNH doesn't know that we're doing it downstairs.
But they'll charge you.
Yeah, if CNH knows, then I don't know what. Maybe they'll give us free packs, or we have to buy their packs.
The one ring is found.
Yeah, they found the one ring.
Yeah, for those people who are listening to this, if you are into the MTG scene, Lord of the Rings collection just came out, and they put a specific card that's called the One Ring, specifically designed, and there's only one card out of how many boxes over here. Yeah,
you guys will be here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
And yeah, basically, that card is probably $1 million now.
$2 million.
$2 million. They found the card.
Found the card. It's worth $2 million.
Imagine if that person. Gave the oh my god, that guy's a millionaire.
Yeah,
holy shit.
But then again, imagine if someone like us found it, that 2 million would be like 10 million.
Oh, yes,
for them, it's just 2 million.
Yeah, correct. For us, it's 10 million, man.
For us, it's 10 million.
We can buy one apartment in KL,
yes,
a penthouse at least.
Yeah, but anyway, as a talk,
yeah, so the intern,
she was the concept artwork was done.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, Then I told her, okay, for this one, you should just like Google this is this. Mm. For this one, you should Google this and this.
Mm.
And then you put it into a proposal.
Mm.
And then you give it to your manager lah.
Mm-hmm.
So, then she was like, put it into a proposal. I've never written a proposal before. You know, you never written a proposal in uni? It's basic. Like, then she was like, no, it's just like in Word form lah. Yeah, exactly. You can do it in Word form. You can do it in Excel. You can do it in PowerPoint. My suggestion is to do it in PowerPoint lah.
Yeah.
And then okay lah. Then she's like, okay. But I suggest you just go out to lunch. Stop crying and go out to lunch. Calm down, go out to lunch, stop crying, and then come back, and then you ask questions. If you have any questions, you can come to me lah. You can come to me and ask me.
Oh, look at you. Okay.
Plot twist.
Oh.
I wasn't in the office after that. Now, The next day, what I heard was...
Oh, no. Oh,
that
no.
That she had...
Quit her internship.
No, 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 no. That she had given one piece of A4 paper back to her manager with the items that were she was looking for, lah.
Mm-hmm.
And this A4 paper included like URL links.
Okay.
On A4.
Mm, good lah. Very good. You can tap the paper and then you will go.
So she had googled the items that I asked her to google for. Fuck. And then she had taken the URL and just put it. So it's a, it was an A4, a single sheet of A4 paper with just like URL links. It's not funny, poor girl, but it's fucking hilarious. And then she pins it on me.
Oh no!
This is what Hazi asked me to do. So I go back to the office and the manager comes to me. Hazi, did you ask this intern to do this? I'm like, first of all, no. I advised her on what to do.
Okay.
So when you Google it, like you get the information from that website, lah. Like, and then you cross check it with what the items that you need, lah. Like if it's a vendor, you get the name, the profile, and everything what they do past projects that they've done.
Surely it crossed her mind before she printed the paper out to send a soft copy to the manager.
Yeah, but no.
The fuck?
So, and then put it into the proposal lah. So, kalau proposal tu, let's say like it's a PowerPoint, then you...
She printed item, a PowerPoint too, didn't she?
No, she didn't. Oh, it was just God. The A4 paper. So, it's just like a PowerPoint presentation where like, okay, the title of the project.
Yep.
And then after that, it's like, okay, vendor, this one. Okay, this is the profile. This is the company name. Mm. This is what they do. Mm. Just a short description of what they do.
Mm.
And then past exhibition works that they've done.
Mm.
You know, just something like that. Like, at least your boss knows that, hey, I've gone through the trouble of sourcing these out for you, all this information you need.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my proposal. If you're okay with it, then I can follow up with the company,
mm-hmm,
you know, and
mm-hmm.
discuss whatever needs to be discussed or sit down for a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a fucking A4 paper with URL links.
Jesus Christ. You think kids nowadays will be smarter, right? Fuck.
And then she fucking pins it on me.
I don't care whether she prints it on you or not, but at the very least, think lah.
Yeah.
Hey, you think you what the fuck? This paper smart papers, yeah? Huh? Ida paper come up with Ida cat came up with this idea of like, yo, you know this paper, you tap the URL link, this one, the paper will flip the page automatically when you know, turn you to the link one. The fuck? Later the paper will come up back button for you to press or so on. What the fuck, man?
And this comes from like millennials who have like common sense, you know.
Jeez. The future is bleak. The future is bleak.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my god. You know Chinese, Cantonese people say seng mok ti.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be smarter a bit. Have some common sense.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the generation not seng mok one. Seriously. We have been too nice as millennial parents to Gen Z children.
Mm.
We have been too lenient on them. You know, everything can, your child cannot do anything wrong.
Mm.
And that is the problem.
Yeah.
Would I beat my child so that he has childhood trauma?
Yes.
Maybe if it builds character.
Definitely.
Why the fuck not, right?
Be a child for no reason as well.
Yeah, right? Like because like the current crop of like when my child comes out, what Gen Alpha, whatever the fuck generation he is, right? All these kids are gonna be fucked up solely because the parents are like, I beat you because the generation before you just didn't get enough beatings. Mm. You know? Your uncle Johnny was never beaten as a child, that's why he's like this. Useless. Work also stupid one. Huh? I must beat you so that you can be a smart worker. Papa, why? You will understand when you grow older. When you have the childhood trauma that I had before, your great grandfather gave to me, yes,
yeah,
you will get it. You will understand. You know? This is what you need to go through. I'm not doing this because I hate you, because I love you. Like literally, I'm doing this to save your ass.
Yeah.
You'll thank me later.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, you won't thank me in 10 years, but you'll thank me in 30 years down the road when I die.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go to hell, but at the very least, I go to hell with a purpose, you know. The gods of hell look at me, it's like you beat your child. Yes. Good lah. Good lah.
But yeah. Like, going back to this whole internship thing, holy shit, man. We have stories.
And this is my first time actually like supervising interns, and I think I came into the wrong generation to supervise interns lah. I wish I had done it earlier so that I can get better ones before I had to deal with this bullshit.
Back then when you could actually haze them and beat them.
I miss that. You know, I wish I had been in that generation where I looked at the intern and go like, "Eh, kau bodoh kami, kau beli kopi untuk aku." Aku tak kisah, aku buat kerja. Apa tas? Beli kopi dulu.
Ni apa? If you wanna know what intern abuse is, then just go to Les Kopak ah.
Oh, yo, don't lah Upin Ipin. You know, people have Upin Ipin.
Did you follow
that?
Did you follow the story?
I did.
Holy shit,
it's
bro!
It's fucked up, man. It's fucked up.
The whole company is fucked up.
Then again, that's an animation industry, man. Like you will always get stories like this. Even the current Spider-Man one also is like, oh, everyone's we are understaffed, or people jump out very fast. Yeah. You know, they don't work on the full project. They only work 20% of the project. It's normal. This is the industry standard, honestly speaking. But yes, before we go, I do have one thing. Okay, so two things. Quick ones about your opinions on certain things, right? Because this is a catch-up episode and we do need to catch up on certain stuff. But we're going to catch up on more recent stuff. Number one, Jocelyn Chia.
Oh, fuck me.
Joke too far or okay?
Joke too far lah. Because it just turned nasty.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it just turned nasty. It like did. Like you come up with a joke, then just... Don't go like fuck you Malaysia.
Yeah, that was like, the one. That was the one I went.
That was what triggered us.
Yes.
It was just like full on joke, like Fakafaz does, like how Fakafaz does it, like
the Najib joke and stuff like that, right? Yeah.
Right. It's just
subtle digs.
I mean, like it's on the nose. Some of it is on the nose.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go like fuck you Malaysia.
Yeah. It was so harsh. Yeah. It was so harsh.
It wasn't personal. Jocelyn Chia took it personally.
Very. She's like, oh, you're Malaysian. Fuck you, Malaysia.
Yeah, like what the fuck do you have against Malaysia? What did we ever do to you?
You know, to be honest with you, right? Like, I've been in the comedy industry for a few years.
Yeah.
Right? And I've managed to see Jocelyn perform before.
Okay.
Right? And she was never like that. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's the American citizenship that, you know, gave her a dick or something like that. But yeah, this was very, very surprising from somebody who I thought was a good comedian.
Yeah.
Right? It was a very. It wasn't even a joke anymore. It was an insult.
Yeah,
at that point.
It was just insulting at that point.
It was an insult at that point. And then she didn't want to apologize.
Like, hey, you want to make a joke about MH370? Go for it.
Yeah.
But don't use it as like a crutch to like insult Malaysia.
Yes. I think people weren't pissed off with the MH370 thing. It was the
taken it like lightheartedly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, oh what, too soon. No, it's not that. It's just the fact that you said fuck you Malaysia so aggressively. I think that was the one that I really didn't appreciate. That you know, you so aggressively said fuck you Malaysia. But don't forget that you were also once Malaysian. You were just not born at that time.
Yeah.
Right? And you're fortunate enough to have Lee Kuan Yew, who's Chinese, to work hard enough to give it a small island a fucking powerhouse in the industry, right? And we had Malays. Yeah, but you know.
I get you, but
it's just that, you know, it's joke too far.
Joke too far. Like it wasn't even a joke, it was just you venting your frustrations.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's why I heard too.
Yeah.
Right? And she's apparently gonna come into Malaysia to do an apology tour.
I mean, too little, too late lah. You should have just like snipped it in the butt.
You know what? You just burn the bridge and just fuck off. Yeah.
So she's just making a statement where like she's just stoking the fire, right?
Yeah. She's not even apologizing anymore.
It's just stoking the fire.
Yeah. She's just like, I'm just here to make money.
Exactly.
I'm here to make money. I'm American.
But I also think that Malaysians also took it too far.
Yes, I agree.
We should have just like stuck to the social media like
and not
trolling.
Her. Yeah.
And not like call Interpol or some shit like
that's
that.
That's so dumb. What is Interpol going to do?
Yeah.
What is Interpol going to do? Hello? Not what report. Excuse me? Do you speak English? I speak Irani. Speaking, ah. Okay, what is the issue, sir? Is there a national crime that we have to report to?
Yes, a crime.
What is the crime, sir? Jocelyn Chia. Who is that? The comedy yang the funny.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, what? What? Is you talking
and then,
about
and then panggil kawan dia yang actually reti speaking sikit kan.
Eh,
Syam, Syam, come on. Kau reti speaking sikit kan? Boleh lah, sikit-sikit lah. Sembang dengan Interpol ni.
Hello?
Hello? Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. What seems to be the problem?
Can I know what the time is?
The time now is 5 o'clock Swiss time.
Okay. Jocelyn Chia, fuck you!
Okay. Do you want me to make a report about this?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, I will make a report about this.
Then they put on the phone. We show power lah, Syam. Speaking of power lah, Syam.
Kau masa kau dengar fuck you tu padu sial.
Oh, padu doh.
Wey, macam ni kau jadi English teacher masa keluar ni. Ha lah, insyaAllah. Baiklah Syam, baiklah Syam.
Baiklah Syam, English kau padu lah Syam.
Nanti kalau kita jumpa Mas Adi tu kan, tolonglah sikit. Kita tunjuk sikit Malaysia power.
Syam from kota, from apa, Kota Baru kan. Not Kota Baru lah, you didn't speaking in a Kelantanese accent lah. Bulan Batu Bemban. Syam from Batu Bemban will be liaising with the Interpol for the arrest of Jocelyn Chia. Hello, what can I know what the time is?
That's all he said. Interpol just like, I don't know, there's this Malaysian number. He's just telling me, he's just asking about the time and he's asking me to make a police report. I don't know who to make a police report to.
The Malaysian les incompétents.
Nice. Ouais, putain.
Putain.
Putain. Okay. Second thing. My favorite. Ocean Gate.
Oh, dude, my friends and I were making a bet whether or not like they would suffocate. Everyone lost because it imploded.
Yeah, I know.
Dude, I was following Ocean Gate like it was like MH370, man.
Did you find it sad or did you find it funny?
I found it hilarious. And fucking know- hilarious. Because ni Lord of the Rings punya. Yeah.
Representative.
Yeah. So I found it hilarious because if you followed from
I followed the Hobbits to Isengard.
I will follow that ass to Isengard.
Oh, hey, you have a wife.
She doesn't listen. Oh. She doesn't listen to this podcast.
Ocean Gate.
Yeah, okay. So Ocean Gate, if you follow Ocean Gate from start to finish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus the pre-interviews.
Before. How they said it was foolproof.
How they said it was foolproof. Like you would find it like so magnanimously, like so full of himself.
Yeah.
You know, because it's basically him saying like, yeah, I have enough money, that's why I am God. Kind of shit.
Pretty much.
You know?
It's like, I have this money to make a tin can.
They bought the hull of the submarine from Boeing at a discounted price because Boeing couldn't use the hull because it had like
defects,
structural disintegration or some shit like that.
Yeah,
lah.
Yeah.
And so they bought it at a discount and used it knowingly used it on the submarine. And then even if the submarine had, let's say lah, for the life of them lah, just you know, like floated upwards.
Yeah.
Right. They couldn't have gotten out because it's bolted from the outside.
Yeah, and you had to get a rescue team to at least, you know, weld you out or jaw life you out.
Exactly.
Right. You would have died before they saved your life, which it was so structurally
and
weird.
Like, not to mention the fucking joystick, bro.
Yo,
have you like before Ocean Gate happened? Like, if you went to eBay or like Amazon and Logitech, saw the reviews, right?
Yeah.
For the controller, right? The reviews were all negative because a review saying that it disconnected.
Yes, and you use this and to fucking pilot the submarine to 4,000 meters down the sea to find the fucking Titanic. You must have a death wish.
But this is like their fourth
voyage down,
voyage down.
It doesn't matter how many.
But this is the lowest they went.
Exactly, but for me, it doesn't matter, you know, how many trips you have taken with that thing. It's not structurally sound.
Yeah.
Right, and the fact that you fired the people that tell you like, hey, this is gonna be a problem when it goes down more than once.
Fired the guy
that said that this thing had a fucking major safety flaw.
Yep.
I cannot imagine the whole conversation. It would have been like, it was like, hi, Mr. So-and-so. So I've done my calculations on the hull. I've done my report on everything, and I realized there's a major flaw with the thing. What's the flaw? It's not safe. Why are you saying it's not safe? We've gone down there 3 times, and it's like, it's not safe. Oh, well, okay. Pack your bags.
You're fired.
Yeah, you're fired. You're like, what? Yeah, you're fired. Right. But it's not safe. You're fired.
Yeah.
You don't talk to me anymore. And just they're like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? The fact that I saw, okay, so my chronology of events was very simple. It was very much like I saw the news about this submarine going missing, right? And then people started making memes out of it.
Yeah.
And I went, why is this such memeable content? Like, why are people making fun of what is a tragedy?
Yeah.
Right? How are people laughing at the face of tragedy, right? And I just kept on digging and digging and realized how stupid this whole fucking thing was. And I started laughing too. Right? At first my mentality was, oh, that's fucked up. People are making memes about this.
So did you see, if you watched the pre-interview, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the CEO of OceanGate was being interviewed, and they said like one of his comments was that he said, if you don't he quoted some historical figure and said like, if you don't take risks, no one is going to remember you. Fuck yeah. No,
people remember you for the wrong reasons though,
you
bro.
Now, though.
Yeah, you charge people $250,000 to go and find the Titanic.
Ah, another thing. So my friend works at Knight Frank.
Okay.
All right. I have a friend at Knight Frank.
Oh,
and
nice.
What Knight Frank does is each year they come up with a report.
Mm.
It's the
World Review, is it?
World Review, kind of World Review report, but it's titled the High Net Worth Individuals Report. So they do a report for like each country, how much high net worth individuals there are, and how it increases every year or decreases every year.
Right.
Right. So that gives you basically an image of how that country is doing lah,
mm-hmm.
and how much money is being like hoarded in that country. So I sent a text. So now that OceanGate happened, right, and they lost like 3 billionaires or some shit like that, do you need to review the revise the report? There's no answer.
Oh, fuck. Jeez. My question. Funny or tragic?
Funny.
Funny. For me, it's funny.
Absolutely hilarious.
Hilarious. When I find out that they're so expensive to take a voyage down to look for the Titanic, and you are literally sitting in a tin can.
And they interviewed upper James Cameron.
Yeah. Who has taken more voyages down the Titanic in a much more safer fucking device.
Did you know like this, I'm not sure, but you guys can check out the accuracy of this lah. But like, James Cameron, when he was filming the Titanic, filming the movie Titanic, he actually had like a surplus of budget, which he then, from the movie itself, and then which he then used to actually go down to the wreckage of the Titanic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, dude, like, the guy was so like obsessed with the Titanic that like he made a movie about it and used remaining budget from the movie to actually go down and see it.
Yep.
It was reported that he was supposed to like bring it up or something like that. But obviously he never did that. It was just like a joy cruise for him. Like, oh look, I just made a movie about the Titanic, now I'm seeing the Titanic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know.
And the best part about this is just basically the fallacy of rich men. Like,
oh yeah.
You know? When you have so much money, it's like, oh, I'm rich.
Absolutely.
Oh, let's go and find the Titanic. Oh, I'm so rich.
Absolutely, man.
Right? And then you've got this kid.
Poor kid.
That's the only tragedy out of the whole thing.
But then again, like,
he didn't want to go. Did you know that?
Oh shit.
Yeah, he didn't want to go. His dad said like, you know, you should go. Like, and he said, I don't want to do it. And then, you know, to compensate for this kind of thing, what he wanted to do was he wanted to be the first person in the Guinness Book of World Records, to solve a Rubik's Cube.
Underwater. In front of the Titanic.
I think the Rubik's Cube is gone also. It's imploded.
It imploded. Well,
in a sense, he did get into the books.
Yeah.
By being the first 5 people to die in a submarine implosion.
At the Titanic.
And I bet they didn't even make it down to the Titanic.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they make it down.
Imploded before that.
Yeah. It's fucking sad. Like, sad in the sense that, you know, this could have all been avoided.
But you should see James Cameron's interview.
I didn't see it. Yeah, no.
There was not a shred of like some of them were his friends. So, there's no shred of like, oh my god, I'm so sad and everything. All he said was that, oh, because of Ocean Gate, people might have a bad perception of the Titanic. Your dying gave Titanic a bad name.
You know, to be fair to you, right? Nobody sees this as a tragedy at all. Yeah. I doubt the world looked at them and just go, oh no, five rich people died. No one fucking cares, man. It's five rich people, that's great.
Yeah.
You know? And the wives of, and the spouses of and the family of these guys has got a huge paycheck.
Yeah.
Right? These guys got payout from the life insurance.
Kids all trust fund babies, right?
Yeah, man. It's like, oh my god, I got a free ride to college, thanks dad.
Yeah.
He's not here anymore, but you know.
Ni yang anak yang stepson dia.
Di mana?
They went to a concert. While the stepdad was down there.
Didn't interview the son when it happened?
Yeah.
Fuck.
So
man.
I would write like, oh no, my stepdad, my asshole stepdad is in a submarine, he's gonna die while I'm here at his concert.
Party in Ibiza.
And it was like, oh, what concert was that, lah?
I don't remember. Yeah. Was it Glastonbury?
No. It was like some artist, like Taylor Swift or some shit like that.
Okay. I don't care anymore. Yeah. She sold out. I don't care. She was better as a country singer.
Yep, exactly.
I'm just putting my foot down on that one. She was better as a country singer. When she went to pop, that's it. She sold out.
That's it. Yeah,
Taylor Swift is no longer Taylor Swift for me anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we will end it here, this episode. It was a very good catch-up episode.
Yes, it was.
I'm not sure how we're going to do it next week, but I think we will try and find out how we can do it next week before I fly off to Japan.
Yep.
I'll be off for 2 weeks. Am I off for 2 weeks? Yes, I'm off for 2 Saturdays.
Okay, got it.
So, Papa Chu's going to go missing now. He's going to go buy a bag of milk and not come back. Tell me when you have a scholarship, Hazik. but yes, thank you so much for listening. Follow us on our platforms, give us the suggestions, because we desperately need them on Facebook, TikTok and Instagram. And we also have our link tree that you can click on to go to the Google Forms, put anonymously or not anonymously your questions. We don't want to take questions today. It was just generally a catch-up episode. We might take more next week, maybe.
Yep.
Who knows? Until then, you know, hopefully you enjoyed our comeback. I know you guys have missed us. I'm just putting my ego now up front, right? Just saying like, oh, you guys listen to my podcast.
Because we've missed you.
Yeah, because we've missed you. So enjoy listening to us for the next maybe 2 months before we come up with another episode, potentially. And we will say bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, welcome to the Don't Know That podcast. If you are listening to this, don't forget to like and subscribe to us on a YouTube channel that we have not created yet. When you find this voice note with this soothing voice in the sound of rain, which has not come and arrived yet because Mother Nature is being a bitch, you can sit down and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your favorite podcasting platforms, whether it be Breaker, whether it be Overcast, whether it be Radio Public. If you want to drop us suggestions, we are a fully interactive show, though we don't interact with you face to face. We would like you to send us your weirdly specific questions, your weird opinions, your weird suggestions to us at our social media platforms at Don't Know That Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram. Our Facebook page is dying, because nobody uses Facebook anymore except for old people, and we're trying to reach out to the younger audience. Because of that, you can give us a like on Facebook as pity. And if you do like us on Instagram, you can like us, like our videos, like the highlights that comes out every day, or not every day, but 2 to 3 days, depending on how lazy Henry is on that week. Just have fun. We've also put in a link tree where you can find our forms made from Google Forms. Thank you, Google. You can also find us there. You can put in anything. You can ask us anything. You can tell us anything. You can give us an opinion about anything. Just put it there, because we desperately need people to keep our show alive. We're dying here. We're trying to make money. Why are you not giving us money? Please, for the love of God, just give me money. We need money to survive. We don't want to work our day jobs anymore. Hazik has a cat to feed. His name is also Henry.